What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Weed and Talking MMA podcast. My name is Jared. I'm here with my co-host, Paul.
What's up, guys?
We are coming to you from Las Vegas, the fight capital of the world, land of legal cannabis, of which we have a lot of today. Paul right now is hitting this pipe that has some lemon OG in it. It's a nice sativa dominant hybrid. We also got some Gorilla Glue, which is also a hybrid, but it can go either way, indica or sativa. We've got some concentrates here today, too. Got some Tahoe OG for this dab rig we were hitting before the show started. And this vape pen over here, we've got a really good distillate. This is a 93% THC. It's a purple berry. Super strong. Knock you right on your ass. I'm going to hand that right over to Paul. He can hit that. Also got some Maui Wowie in this vape pen over here. So we're well stocked on the weed. And we are ready to talk about some MMA. Now, we had kind of a unique experience since our last episode. We hit up that Black Belt CBD Jiu-Jitsu event. Yeah, that's Paul feeling the effects of that lemon OG right there. That was a monster hit. We hit up this Black Belt CBD event, which is CBD, if you don't know, is a non-psychoactive component of marijuana. It helps with inflammation, anxiety, pain, all sorts of things. And this is a company here that makes CBD products specifically for the MMA market. And they put on their first jiu-jitsu event, the Black Belt CBD Invitational. Now, as far as I understand it, Paul, this is an all-women-owned company. And part of the uniqueness of this first event here was the fact that it had, first it had both male and female brackets, and it paid both brackets the equal amount of money. It was $30,000 for the winner of each bracket.
There was quite a few big names there as well.
A lot of big jiu-jitsu names, a lot of people over from Brazil, headlined by a couple of famous UFC, former UFC fighters now, Frank Mir and Forrest Griffin.
Yep.
It was a good time.
It was a fun event. What did
you
think of that?
You've been to a lot of wrestling events.
Yeah, it was very similar to. It was pretty structured, like very similar structure as well. It's like certain matches every round, and then once the round's over, there's a break. There's quite a few breaks just because you know you got to give those guys some time between matches. It's just.
Yeah, I mean it's quite an exertion. It's 3 5-minute rounds.
Yeah, a lot of guys were going to the decision too.
And so. A lot of decisions, yeah, because these are a lot of high level competitors, and when you have a lot of high level competitors evenly matched, you can wind up with a lot of decisions in jiu-jitsu. And but it was a good time. We were happy to be there, happy to support it. It was televised on a few different web channels. Last one that I saw, a morning after the event, had over 100,000 views on it. So that's really good on them. Shout out to Black Belt CBD. You can learn more about their company. They're not sponsoring. This isn't a paid shout out. It's just check it out though. BlackBeltCBD.com. Look like they got some good shit going on.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Moving on to other MMA, man. We had the UFC Fight Night Canada last night.
Yep. Kind of really only like, I mean, it was filled with like pretty high level fighters, but just kind of not a lot of back burner kind of stars. You know,
yeah,
journeyman.
It was mainly the main event and the co-main event that's only really worth talking about on today's show. I figure, you know. The main event was definitely a consequential. Yeah, that was a consequential fight. But let's talk about the co-main, which wound up being Michael Johnson versus Artem Lobov in a featherweight contest.
Was supposed to be Zuba versus Artem Lobov.
Yes, one of Khabib's teammates. But he was the guy, if you've seen the video, hit Conor.
The red shirt.
The red shirt from behind. So he's under investigation by the NSAC, Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Not sanctioned to fight right now.
And the UFC released him.
As far as I know, yes, that is correct. The UFC released him as well. So that fight, he got replaced by Michael Johnson. Maybe not as much intrigue, but Johnson's a much higher level fighter. He's top 10 lightweight. I'm not sure where he sits in the featherweight rankings because he's just moved down here recently. But
yeah,
it was an entertaining fight. As expected, Johnson won. I honestly feel you can make an argument that Artem could have won. It wouldn't have been a robbery if they gave a decision to Artem.
Here's the problem here. Is Artem was, he was in the fight the whole time, without a doubt. But he just wasn't piecing anything together. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the third round was clearly Johnson's, but the first two rounds, he was definitely
He was getting in there, you know, he was getting a few shots, but Johnson had pretty solid defense in this fight. He really blocked a lot of the punches that Artem was throwing, and then he came back, and Artem just had his hands dropped the whole time, and he was eating everything. So if I'm a judge, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, all right, both guys are active, but who's landing more? And because Artem doesn't have his hands up at all,
Johnson's gonna fuck a lot of punches that look like they hit. You gotta give him some credit. He moves 100% out of the way a lot, but
he's got to keep those hands up.
He's a guy who's willing to wade in and take some punches in order to try and land. Which, I mean, let's be honest here.
He's always trying to land the big shot, though. He never was setting anything up. He was just looking for that big shot.
His body frame makes it kind of difficult for him to. I mean, you know. Johnson had a 7-inch reach on him in a 1-inch fight.
Yeah, dude, have you ever seen Spy Kids? He looks like the thumb dude.
Yeah, he's got tiny little T-Rex arms. And I mean, and I like Artem, and he's doing the absolute best he can, but he's not well-suited, especially against Johnson's got this long reach. You know, he's lanky. He kind of has to wade in and wing him in order to get anything to land. But he was piecing Johnson up in the beginning, you know, or not piecing him up. It was a back and forth fight, though. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I like watching Artem Lobov fight because he's a guy that he's not really going to try and take you down. He's going to try to knock your head off. And knock your head off as best he can. And you can hit him hard and he'll laugh and be like, good one, dude, and keep coming.
Yeah.
And I'll also put this in there. Artem Lobov is the type of guy that when Michael Johnson got fined 20% for missing weight, taking it as a short notice fight, he not only said he wouldn't accept the money, he would give it right back to Michael Johnson if he got fined. He called the UFC and told them just to fucking keep it. Don't bother wiring it to him and make sure that Johnson gets his money. So, you know, he could have made 20% considerable. Johnson gets paid actually pretty good.
He gets paid pretty good because his prior experiences.
Yeah, his prior experiences. He's had pretty high-level fights. Mm-hmm. I think he's in the $80,000 range.
Yeah, he's got to be.
And so if he wins, that's like $160,000. That's $32,000. That's nothing. You know, just if our numbers are right here, but that's not like $2,000 or anything.
Yeah, no, that's
Artem wouldn't have been a dick to keep it. Dent. I mean, you miss weight. So he's a cool dude. That's the kind of guy he is. He's like, keep your money.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up. And
I bet you Artem doesn't get paid that much.
I bet Conor hooks him up. I would hope.
Well, Artem's maybe
been along for the ride. Since the beginning.
Here's the thing. That's always a weird place to take things when you look at like what really are these trainers making for these high level fighters, you know? No one really knows or like you know.
No, we don't get all the pay information even when the reported pay is disclosed. And if you're wondering who we're talking, Artem Lobov is Conor McGregor's main training partner. And
well, I'm just thinking in the fact of Conor's side, you know, like he was saying that he paid. Remember when he fought Nate? He said he like almost. How much did he say he put in? Like $250,000.
Yeah, they came out here and rented that house. They rented that house from some people I know, some friends of mine, and that was expensive.
Yeah, so it's like
flew over 12 people. He pays for all the food.
Yeah,
so it was a good home.
He was saying. Didn't he say like $250,000 or some shit?
Right, for like that towards a half a mil.
Yeah, something like that. But just think about that. How much each... That's why when someone is up and coming in MMA, it's so hard to make money. Because as soon as you make money, this person gets cut, this person gets cut, this person gets cut. And that's what you got, bro. Right.
And when you want to change camps and move to a higher level place, you got to pay more money for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're always arguing on this podcast for higher fighter pay. Yeah. But I don't think Artem gets paid that much. This is probably his swan song in the UFC.
Yeah, he's great.
And I've enjoyed his time. People like to talk shit about him. A lot of people think he's only here because of Conor, and that may or may not be true. But he's the kind of fighter I like to watch. He always puts on a show and does his best, goes forward, and doesn't fuck around.
He definitely never is a boring fighter.
No, he's never a boring fighter. And when you look at what he's working with physically, them tiny little T-Rex arms, he's going in there trying to fight the best in the world as best as he can. So good on him, man. Good on him.
I hope that this is it, though.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be in the UFC after this one. He's expressed some interest in dabbling in boxing. I think he should.
And he also said he'd follow Zuba to anywhere he signed to fight him.
Yeah, that's interesting too. So that's good stuff. I'm not a hater. I like it. But let's get the cut coming, I would assume.
See, I don't think he gets cut. I think because of his high profile, like, management and, like, Connor and everything, I think it'll be, like, it won't be announced like a cut, you know, because then it will look like a loss for, like, both sides. Like, for...
But just announced like he signed.
Yeah, like, it was, like, a mutual, like...
Yeah.
Like, they released him of his contract so he could sign with someone
else. Hell, dude, he's a good enough fighter. He could probably go over to, like, one championship and make a run at some Asian fighters in the
lower classes, you know. Well, he was saying ACB, right? That's what he was saying he wanted to
fight. Yeah, he likes that stuff over there, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I hope he does do some shit like that. Let's move on to the main event, though. That was a consequential fight we had.
Yeah.
Volkan Özdemir.
Coming at number two. Versus number two ranked.
Versus number 10.
Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Anthony Lionheart Smith. It was just knockouts of Rashad Evans, Shogun Hua.
Yep.
And he winds up winning by, what, third round submission.
It was just like one of those fights where you saw the game plan play out and everybody saw it coming, but it was just like so perfectly executed that Volkan couldn't stop it. Because everybody knows how he fights. He comes out, usually blitzes.
Yeah, explosive. Very explosive.
Very
fighter.
Explosive fighter. Really, really, really like big hands, dude. He's got bombs.
Yeah, he's got big bombs. I mean, his nickname is No Time because he wastes no time knocking the motherfucker out.
And so really, and Smith took them all.
He did. Man, there was a couple times I thought it was over, and Smith's chin was just like, all right, bring it on, dude.
Yeah.
Damn, son. I was impressed. Anthony Smith is legit.
I don't think he has
a title shot here.
When you're talking about these kind of fights, these fights are what makes champions, because people see that will, and you see how you react in the deep water.
Yeah,
and then
you
constantly,
your
confidence is just at an all time high when you win a fight like that, because it's like everyone saw you get dug, just buried. He was getting buried.
Oh, 100%.
He was getting buried.
I thought it was over.
For sure.
For real. And
then he comes back and fucking chokes him out and then takes a nap.
Yeah, he bloodies him up pretty good.
He fucked him up pretty bad.
Like he bloodied his face up pretty good. He was tagging him up, and then takes him down, takes his back, chokes him out.
Yep.
Kept going for that choke too. It took a minute to earn it. And it was
well.
Good.
And here that also answers the question that everyone's been asking. Oh well, all you really can do is strike. Well,
no.
Unfortunately for everyone in the light heavyweight division, this guy seems like he's pretty fucking legit.
He's been around the block, Anthony Smith. He's been fighting a long time. He came over. This is his second run in the UFC. You know, he came over as part of the Strikeforce deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, his records. He's like somewhere in the neighborhood of 36.
He was never at light heavyweight
or so. And no, he's been at 185.
Yeah.
Since this move up, like he's experienced, so he's not like
he's
a raw
real
talent.
Big though.
He's
it's strange. It's strange why he was that low, because he's a real like big
dude. It's
dude.
Just what we've talked about constantly. He was cutting too much damn weight.
Yeah.
In an effort to get an advantage.
He's peaking.
And
he's
now
speaking correctly,
he's got that experience, and he's got this size, and he seems to have the fight IQ.
Of course.
He knew what to do against Volkan. He took his time.
Yep.
He knew that blitz was coming in, and he withstood it. He had that
and honestly, in that
first
round early, he was really like controlling the fight. He took him up against the fence, was controlling the grappling. Honestly, man, when watching Volkan Özdemir grappling, I just like cannot. Like I just can't, dude. It's like it's so elementary for him. Like he's so terrible in the grappling game.
Yeah,
he's
awful. DC really showed that in that fight.
He's
man,
awful.
DC now seeing this here. With
well,
Lion
in that
Hart
first
too.
Clinch, they were up against the fence. Well, he like Smith was just chilling. Like he had no pressure on him whatsoever.
No,
he was kind of just leaning on it. Like he didn't like you. Pin somebody up against the fence, you know, like you gotta, like get your head down and pin them.
Yeah,
into
he wasn't
the fence.
Even having his weight.
He was his weight wasn't even like on him. It was weird. He didn't have his wrists. He just like had his hand over. Like it was weird as fuck. Like, how has he got away with this for this long to get to
them? It's because he's got those hands of stone. That's what it is. And he's used to being able to get up there against a fence like that. And as incorrect as it may be, and just rely on those hands when he's got an opponent trapped like that. And it just wasn't working with Anthony Smith. He could take those blows. You know, he wasn't even really trying them in the beginning, like you said.
Well, like I said, man, the will to win is what makes champions in this sport. Because
Uzdemir did wind up putting it on him. I mean, he took some shots.
We really got three guys who are really starting to come up and make some noise in the light heavyweight division that really hasn't had any noise.
So we got Lionheart, then who are the other two?
Lionheart, and then we got Thiago Santos, who just picked up the win against Eric Anders, now fighting Jimmy Manoa. If he goes in there and does what he did to Anders to Jimmy Manoa, then he's up there, you know? Now that Jones is back, we're going to have a much more, I think, active division, because although DC was active, he also was always chasing the best fight, you know, the biggest fight.
Sure.
And so I think when Jones comes back, we really have Anthony, and then we have Dominic Reyes and Thiago Santos.
That is some new blood, and we've needed it. I mean,
Dominic Reyes looked terrific.
If you're listening and you're unaware, the light heavyweight division used to be the UFC's
premier division.
And then John Jones came along and
slayed them everybody all
out. And then there's been this wasteland since.
Yeah.
And now we're getting that injection of some new blood plus the return of the long gone king.
Yep.
So you're right. There's some exciting Jones is stuff
coming
here.
Back to kill everybody else.
Yeah, we're excited about that, just like everybody else in the MMA world. He has that fight with Gustafson. That's one thing that got announced since our last podcast that we're touching on here. So it's end of the year here in Vegas for the light heavyweight championship.
DC will be stripped after the weigh-in. DC officially
stripped of the light heavyweight title at that time. So that's exciting. I think that I like that because it keeps the lineal championship going back the way it should. I like the titles. Just the way I happen to be. If you're listening, you don't know what a lineal title is in real simple terms. To be the man, you got to beat the man. So when titles get stripped and things like that, the real champion still remains the lineal champion is the guy who never got beat. And John Jones never got beat by DC.
Yeah, nope.
And so he remained the champion. Just like, as a quick aside, in my mind, Khabib wasn't a legitimate champion until he came in and demolished Conor. And now no one can deny he's the legitimate lightweight champion. He didn't earn that legitimacy by Al Iaquinta.
Yeah.
It was just bestowed upon him. Now he's solidified it, true champion.
Yep.
Same thing with now going to go on in the light heavyweight division, which is exciting if you're into lineal titles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also in boxing, too. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder.
Yes, yes. Tyson Fury coming back. Very interesting podcast, you know.
With Joe Rogan,
Joe Rogan touched a lot of mental health and very interesting aspects. I'll check it out if you haven't heard it, if you're into that type of thing.
It's really great. It's really just, you know, letting a lot of people out there that deal with those kind of things, like, know that they're not alone, you know what I mean? Like, even the people that are fucking heavyweight champion of the world still deal with shit like that. Yeah, the baddest men
on the planet have to deal with these types of problems as well. So, you're not weak, you're not a pussy if you're dealing with those types of issues. It's not something like that. So, I love seeing that type of thing, and that's good. That's exciting, too.
Yeah.
So, we got that fight over, and that leaves us with, you know, the big MSG card, this changed
really
so
yeah
much.
It's been a it's been a series of events that
devastating blow one right after the other that we've chronicled here on this podcast.
So let's just start it with this. The main event is now DC versus Derek Lewis
for the heavyweight championship.
The co-main event is now Chris Weidman versus Jacare Souza, and then there's a couple twists in here. They took the Sajar Banks versus Valentina Shevchenko fight off. Now Valentina is fighting
Joanna Jędrzejczyk again, as back, previously scheduled before they nixed it to make it the prior main event.
And then last week, we get word that Dustin Poirier has a hip injury and has to get stem cell treatment that will take 4 weeks to heal.
Knocking off the co-main event, which was amazing, Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier, which many thought should have been the de facto main event. Anyways.
But that card still is that card is still fucking good, man.
Because then
you got Brunson and Adesanya on there too.
Yep,
I honestly think that should have been upgraded to the co-main event after all this happened. Because that is a fucking fight, man.
The UFC screwed themselves over on this in multiple areas.
Well, they expected this to be a huge card. Yeah. And really, when it came down to it, people got hurt that shouldn't have got hurt, you know what I mean?
And John Jones really wanted
Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum for this card.
And they also wanted John Jones versus Gustafson, but yeah. John Jones refused to fight after he waited till he got cleared, and everyone was expecting him to take that, and then he said, actually, no. Thus, we wound up with this fight at the end of December.
Well, because I think he was in
scrambling for a main event.
I think he was in the state of mind that he was going to come back at heavyweight. And I don't think that's what the UFC had in mind.
Who knows? It could be. I like to speculate that he was just saying whatever he needed to say until he was cleared, and then he was like, haha, yeah, fuck you, Dana. But that's just pure speculation on my part.
Yeah.
But I like to think of those things. But irregardless, the DC versus Lewis main event, let's talk about that one first. We've got Derek Lewis. It's a legitimate title shot. He's the number two ranked heavyweight.
He's on a solid win streak.
And people like to discredit him somewhat because he's not a martial artist. To tell you he's not a martial artist, he'll tell basically you a brawler. And he's a very funny man. And he's got killer fucking stone in his hands.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody expects DC to win, but this is heavyweight. And this motherfucker's no joke with them hands.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if this is the first round, the fifth round with 15 seconds to go. Third round, fucking, it doesn't matter. He'll knock you out. There's a chance at any point in the fight that you might get knocked the fuck out.
And there's a consistent thing that Derek Lewis has done, which is bizarre, and I never realized it until I saw a couple compilation clips on YouTube researching for this show. And I doubt he'll be able to do it against Cormier. Let me preface this, because Cormier is an Olympic wrestler. But it seems in any fight when Derek Lewis decides he wants to stand up when someone's on top of him, he just fucking stands up. It's really weird. Like, he's just like, okay, and he gets up. And no one can seem to stop him from just being like, okay, I'm going to get up now. Very interesting strategy. He's done it in every fight against everyone he's faced. It's really bizarre.
He's never faced someone.
That's why I said I doubt he'll be able to do it against DC. But he could knock him out.
Yeah.
It's unlikely.
He could knock anybody out in this division.
But he could put DC to fucking sleep and be the heavyweight champion of the world, which would be the coolest thing I've seen in the UFC since they signed a guy named Conor McGregor and some excitement was stirred. Because he's a funny, funny man.
Yeah. If you're listening, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. That if Lewis were to beat DC, he will never fucking beat DC again if that happens. For him to win, it would have to be like a 1 in 10 chance. Like, if they ran that fucking fight,
chance.
Yeah, like maybe even more than 10 times. He's really going to be outmatched.
It would likely need to be a combination of a mistake by Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
Besides, he's going to
which
stand
is possible.
There and trade blows.
Which is possible because he did that against Stipe, and Stipe has got fucking hands too, and he was willing to stand in front of Stipe. So what if he's going to go in the although his fucking hands hurt, which I did just forget about. His hand is hurt. So
his hand is hurt, so he likes.
He's gonna fucking wrestle, dude.
He probably can't employ the same strategy.
He's gonna Anderson Silva him, dude.
Stipe, which was the eye poke.
Yeah.
And then the eye poke. And then the eye poke and then the right.
He even said it. Yeah. He's like, a lot of it happened, I didn't even mean to. Yeah. He said I had so much anxiety, I was just like fucking going for it. He was like, I was just all adrenaline. I was like, I fucking yes, dude. But he admitted he hella poked him in the eyes.
Yeah. And he got KO'd on the same side that took all the eye pokes.
Neither dude, nor there. Well, it's like he looked like I'm fucking Stipe looked like he got attacked by a fucking cat, dude, after the fight.
Yeah, he looked like someone or Michael Chiesa after Conor broke the glass.
Exactly.
He's all fucked up. But, you know, I'm joking here, folks. Like, I don't want Derek Lewis to get the eye poke. I do want Derek Lewis to win because
I do too. But I think
it's a long shot.
It's a long shot.
Don't
put your fucking money on that. I mean,
it's probably great odds.
Maybe put a little bit of money on it.
Maybe you want to, you know,
maybe
drop a hundo. But
put a little excess on there.
Don't run up the credit cards betting Derek Lewis. It'll be a good time though. If you're listening,
win or lose, he's fucking. They're probably gonna interview him after.
If you're listening, you don't know who Derek Lewis is. Just Google his Instagram account and just follow it. Even if you don't follow him all the time, check it out. You'll get a laugh. It's one of the best accounts out there. And honestly, I want to give him a plug. He's got a new podcast with his buddy called The Beard and the Beast. You can Google that and check it out too. It's pretty funny. I've only had a chance to listen to one episode, but it seems like some good shit there too.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about that co-main, that multiple time changed co-main. But we've got Chris Weidman at 205 pounds. I think he's ranked number 5 or 2.
No, 185.
185. Yeah, I meant 185 versus Jacare.
Jacare. Yep.
I think it's number 3 versus 5, something like something that. This is a very high ranked, yeah. High ranked fighters. This is a good.
Was originally fight. Luke Rockhold versus Chris Weidman, which was a
rematch
of a ass whooping.
Yeah, when Rockhold won the title from Chris, former champ,
in Madison Square Garden.
Yep, absolutely. That was good shit right there as well.
That was like one of the best. Like, that's one of the best cards ever. That was on.
Who do you like in this fight, Jacare or Weidman?
See?
It all depends on who shows up here. Because both these guys have the tools to beat each other. But both guys have shown tendencies to kind of like not be as focused as they should be. You know?
Absolutely.
Weidman tends to go in there and, I mean, I'm not knocking him for this, but he tends to do a lot of shit that he doesn't do in the gym during the fights.
Yeah, and it's not, when you're fighting a world-class opponent, it's not a really good time to start experimenting with things.
Yeah, no, and he does experiment. I mean, I can't knock him because it's, I mean,
some people can get away with some it people, if your name is like, well, I don't know, yeah. John Jones.
Exactly.
Outside of that.
Well, and at the same time, he's a martial artist, and he's trying to progress and progress and progress, so I can't really knock him for that. But what I'm saying is, in these high-level fights, sometimes you just got to stick to your bread and butter and just fucking go for it, you know what I mean?
Right, I mean, and obviously you're referencing things like that, like the wheel kick he attempted against Rockhold that basically cost him
his title. It cost him his title.
Rockhold changed the entire course.
He took him down into half guard, and all he did was he popped right into full mount and just fucking
beat the hell out of him.
Beat the brakes off him, dude.
So yeah, and that's not the only time he's done such a thing, but
yeah,
but I mean, it's true, it happens, you know. Chris Weidman's certainly not known for his wheel kicks.
No. Gegard, but think about. He tried to stand with Gegard too. That was so stupid. Yeah. Gegard tagged him.
Not when you want to sit there and trade with, especially when Weidman's
no
got
the way.
Good wrestling chops.
Yep.
But,
and then fucking Yoel too. Yoel fucking.
It's the last guy.
Knocked the life out of him. Who the fuck tries to take down Yoel Romero? You fucking stupid.
That's not the strategy to employ with a lot of success.
Right. That's how you get your fucking skull cracked.
Which he did.
Dude, that was like one of the grossest like shit.
Yeah, I felt bad for Weidman.
Like, because at first, Weidman was not bleeding at all before that happened. And that like fucking split his shit. He was like done.
I thought he came back too early in his next fight from taking such a traumatic. I mean, that's obviously a concussion.
Who did he have after that? Was it a... is that when he choked Gaslam out?
Yeah, so he came back with Gaslam, and he took some heavy blows
from
Gaslam.
Gaslam had him on his back, on
like, that's
the freaking cage.
Gaslam, even though he's a little bit undersized in that weight class, he punches like a fucking truck.
Man. Yeah.
And he had Weidman rocked. Like,
dude, we met Gaslam. He's not a big guy.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of meeting Gaslam, talking with him, standing right next to him. I'm a little bit taller than him.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Like, he's such a stud fighting at 185. Jesus. What a fucking ballsy dude. Like, but he's a powerhouse, though, puncher. Yeah. I felt bad for Chris's brain just watching that.
Yeah.
So, but now it's been a while, and I would assume his concussive problem should be healed up by now, which is a plus. Let's hope he doesn't take shots.
It's just over the last few years, he's had so many, like, little nagging injuries, you know?
He has, absolutely. So if he shows up healthy and in his top game versus Jacare, I'd like him to win in a close fight.
But if not, I think Jacare could also really put it on him if he were to.
No joke. His hands have come along. So he used to be just the jiu-jitsu specialist. If you're unfamiliar, this is a guy whose primary specialty was Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and now
he could tap Chris if it comes to it.
Absolutely, he's got some. I mean, Chris's game over there, fucking around, you know, with his team is strong, but he's it's not Jacare. Jacare's a little different in that aspect.
I mean, he's got Matt Serra, who's pretty fucking.
Matt Serra is.
But
I mean, he's no joke on the mats.
But it's only so much you can do to help someone like there's like
phenomenal.
Yeah, Jacare is like one in a million. Yeah, you know what I mean?
About phenomenal
jiu-jitsu wise. Yeah,
applications of jiu-jitsu here.
He won the jiu-jitsu world champions with a broken fucking arm, dude.
Yeah,
it was, he fucking just tucked it in his gi. That's some just legend kept shit. Going.
Yeah, that's so. That's a really consequential and amazing fight. So I'm excited for that as a rookie.
Yeah, it should be a real good fight. DC and they're honestly the only the only two middleweights who really haven't fought each other in that.
Yeah, that was a fight that should have happened. They were probably going to meet anyway somewhere down the line. So, yay, we're getting it now. Word.
Yep.
I like that shit. So, that's some good things. And as you mentioned, we got Derek Brunson versus
Israel Adesanya. This is
his coming out
once
party.
Once again, this is going to be his coming out party, I think. I think Corey Anderson. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like. I mean, Derek Brunson, I said Corey Anderson. They're so similar to me. I don't know why.
Their fighting styles are a bit similar.
They're very similar. Derek Brunson is like, he's got a very similar style to Brad Tavares, and I think Israel's definitely cracked that code before, and he's going to fuck Brunson up.
I think so, too. He's the next big thing in mixed martial arts. He's going to be a sensation. I'm hoping
I would
for
love,
I hope he comes out and lights him up, because
I would
these
love
kind of people.
I would love, love for him to beat Brunson and then welcome Till to the middleweight division.
Oh, man, that would be interesting right there.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, dog.
Oh, that would be great. Let's hope that happens.
Or we got Paulo Costa who could invite, you know, bring him in.
That dude's legit, too.
Although the UFC's been, like, kind of recently trying to build those stars so much that they just won't make those fights. Like, Till probably get brought into the middleweight division against, like,
something easier. They don't want to risk him after getting tooled up by Woodley like he did.
Nah. Who do you think he'll come in at?
I don't know. Somewhere in the lower top 10 rankings. I don't think you give him anybody in the top 5.
Nah.
Give him somebody down the line a little bit. Maybe even in 10-15. I don't know. It just depends on where he feels comfortable at, I suppose. He's hard to judge, man, because he's really put up two. I mean, his fight against Stephen Thompson was not that great.
I don't know, dude. He showed real, real.
He showed
intelligence
and fight IQ, but I don't know. This next fight is really important for Darren Till.
And
that's
also
a whole other show that we'll get to whenever he signs a fight, but he's at an important time. He doesn't want to pick the wrong opponent and then away and get tooled the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know.
Like Jacare.
Maybe, depending on if Jacare loses here. Who knows?
He'd still get that fight.
Who knows?
Maybe Damian Maya.
But that covers, you know, that MSG card. I mean, there's lots of other fights on there, but as that card gets closer, we'll dive in depth into those. But that was kind of the news and shit that that it happened since our last episode. And speaking of news, we had some type of shocking news.
Fuck yeah.
What's being called a trade, the first ever trade in mixed martial arts history. It's not exactly a trade like you would think of in traditional sports, but it amounts to basically the same thing in the long run, which is flyweight champion of the UFC, Demetrius Johnson. Former flyweight champion.
Damn.
Hard to say that, isn't it?
Can't hate on my boy Henry like that, dog. Come
on,
bro.
How many
Come on.
Years? 11
Show
title
the fucking
defenses.
Champ the respect, dog. Hey, I've been telling you. What does this mean?
It means DJ is getting traded to one championship for their retired but still under contract undefeated welterweight Ben Askren. DJ's team initiated this trade. His coach, Matt Hume, is like the vice president of operations of One Championship, which is a major Asian promotion. Still a bit of a startup, but they're a player.
Hey, Jared, just a quick question.
Hmm.
Who runs this shit?
Wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, dog. That's what's up. The fucking wrestlers run this shit, dog. It. We're about to get the... Probably... It's so close. Like, Ben Askren's probably the best wrestler in MMA, honestly. Just because his style. Henry Cejudo's probably the best, like, collegiate... Like, he's probably the best wrestler, like for the little guys. But Ben is, like... He's big time wrestling, dude, and his wrestling
champion.
Is so like hybrid. It's almost like grappling.
He's got that MMA wrestling mixture, quite impressive. I mean, he's undefeated.
Well, and he's wrestled like that always.
He's champion everywhere he went. Dana said he'd never hit the UFC, but obviously times they are a changing.
And you know what? Dana says shit like that all the time because he doesn't want people to know what he's fucking putting together.
He's a fight promoter. His job is to lie.
Yeah, and it's also, it takes away from the huge breaking news that this became, you know?
Absolutely, dude.
He's, nah, fuck Ben Askren, you know? But behind closed doors, he's like, hey, man, I really want you to come over. I get it, man. We're all, you don't have to like me. We're trying to make some fucking money here, you know? Yeah. And this is a business, man. Like, everyone talks about all these relationships between promoters and stuff. Just like any other sport, this is a fucking business. Absolutely. If the Denver Broncos fucking cut you next week, it's a fucking business. They have to do what they got to do. Dana White doesn't have to fucking like you. He doesn't have to like you to want you to fight. He doesn't like a lot of fighters. Yeah, he doesn't like a lot of these motherfuckers. But guess what? He's still going to book them fights if they're going to make him some money. You know?
Absolutely.
Because this is a fucking business. At the end of the day, everyone's trying to make some money. And Ben Askren makes fucking a whole lot of sense in a UFC who's lacking
any. They need a personality right now. He brings a personality. He may not have this. Well, huge, he brings a personality, and you know what it MMA is. MMA fan base, but he's got a fucking buttload of personality.
Here's the thing: it's this new style that wrestlers have brought to the game. Doesn't really have somebody who has a driving force of
like this, a cult of personality behind it.
No, not even that. Just like, this shit is like, a lot of times people are like, oh, this shit's boring. But when you got someone like Askren who will make what people think is boring into an entertaining ass whooping, you know what I'm saying? Everyone wants the knockout on the feet. But if you just go in and you just completely dominate someone, although it's liked most by the purists, it's something to see, man, when you just see someone go in there and just completely dominate somebody. It's ridiculous. And there's always going to be the comparisons between him and Khabib, and that's why most people think that's the fight to make. But at the end of the day, they're two complete different styles.
Sure, you've got the Sambo versus the American wrestling, which is two completely different things.
Yeah.
I still would love to see that fight. But fuck, so yeah. You're right now, you're saying Ben Askren, because he's officially signed now, it's a done deal. Best wrestler in the UFC.
Best grappler. Because I think Henry technically is probably a better wrestler than Ben. But you can never really compare him because they're just so different in weight. But at the same time, I don't know, actually.
It's a toss-up
between three people.
I'd say, huh? We got to see what happens here in this.
Well, here's the deal, man.
Second fight.
Everyone needs to know something right now. Fucking wrestlers run this shit right now, dude. Let's just run it down the line right now. Let's run it down the line right now. We got TJ. We got Henry Cejudo, who's a 125 champ.
Flyweight champion of the. Well,
he's an Olympic wrestling champ. We got TJ Dillashaw, who's a 135 champ, who's a Division I college wrestler. Then Max Holloway is the only fucking person who is not a wrestler. Because then you go to 55, and then you got Khabib, who's obviously a crazy grappler. He comes from the fucking mecca of fucking wrestling in Russia, dude. Like, it's fucking ridiculous, the wrestlers that come out of Dagestan. They're always top three fucking in the world. Absolutely. At all time. And then go down the line, you got Woodley, who's a NCAA fucking All-American. Then you got Robert Whittaker, who is a fucking world finalist. He fucking wanted to wrestle at a tournament in Sydney during that Luke Rockhold fight and was trying to get the UFC to switch it so he could wrestle in the tournament. I don't know if he was in the finals, but I'm pretty sure I heard that he was in the worlds. I'm not quite sure on Robert Whittaker, but I know he has a definite wrestling background. And then, obviously, we got Cormier or John Jones. Like, fucking Jones is fucking All-American, too. Yeah, college wrestler.
And he handled
Cormier. And then DC is so fucking Olympic wrestler, dude. Like, come on.
And now you've got the addition of Ben Askren.
Yeah, Ben Askren, because we're... Here's the problem, though. We're going to drop the Olympic champ off. Sorry. Your division's gone. You and TJ, handle your business.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because now it's time for Askren to start the 65 division and run.
We talked about Askren for a minute. Let's focus in on DJ and that 125 division. Now, this is a trade that DJ initiated, and I think there's for several reasons. A, he's
had some problems with Dana in the past, too.
B, he's likely to be respected a lot more over there. Yeah. He's going into a culture that, I mean, they have a smaller weight class over in one championship.
Here's my deal.
They don't have that kind of American bias against smaller fighters.
Here's my deal. Mighty Mouse is never going to get a call from his promoter at 1FC, and he's never going to say, hey, accept this fight or I'll fucking dissolve your division.
No.
That's what is going to be
different. They're already trumpeting him to the entire country over there.
Exactly, yeah. And like we've said in the past, man, this brand of his and the company is going to grow because he's such like a genuine person, too. He's always there. He's always like at the events. He stays longer for fans. Always signs everyone's shit, taking pictures with everyone. He's on Twitch. He's on all that shit. He does a lot of things where you can interact with him.
Right. You know when we talk about fans of DJ, we're talking about the quote-unquote casual fans of MMA that have just shown. I mean, it's statistically proven. They just have a dislike for watching the smaller fighters fight.
And it's unfortunate because there's some great fighters at those weight classes, but it's just
100%. DJ is one of the best fighters in the world of all time.
It's just but in Asian there's culture, a lot less power involved is all. Like there's a lot, it's a lot more of a finesse and speed.
Well, they don't have that bias. He's going to be heralded as ninja, the greatest martial artist they've ever seen over there. Like, he's going to get much deserved appreciation.
100%.
They're probably going to I heard their last they have an event that had like 25 million views. He's going to get a lot of exposure in that country.
I kind of have my theory about that, though. It's based on, like, I mean, I don't know what, like, the exact numbers are, but...
Well, I mean, let's be real. They're a startup, and they're not even making money, but they got a shitload
of I've seen a lot of fighters that are on there go into Ariel Helwani and others say that one is at the point where it's just as big as Pride was in the past.
Yeah.
So, if that's the case, It's the numbers are always going to be that big with their amount of people that are over there.
Well, sure, they have a much bigger base that they're drawing from, but
yeah, and then they're also pulling that American fan base now. When you take Eddie Alvarez, who's the underground king, going back to the underground, you know, trying to fucking run it, and then you get DJ bringing a lot of people over again because DJ has gotten so big. I'm telling you, that Twitch shit has got him big, man.
He's huge on that platform.
He's huge. There's so much interaction.
What he's doing over there, too.
There's so much interaction with his fans when he goes on there, you know? And it's like, so those people who maybe would have never even watched 1FC, you know, they just barely watched the UFC because of DJ being there. So now you turn around and then you have people from other countries everywhere, all over the world, looking at 1FC, and then we're going to, I mean, this is also obviously going to be a slow kind of thing that's going to, like, eventually happen, but maybe we end up back to where we were before, where Pride ends up pulling a lot of, like, a Pride situation with 1FC, where we get a lot of UFC guys going over there and maybe finishing their careers over there and stuff like that and making them bigger than they ever were, like making, you know, like Dan Henderson and like Chuck Liddell and all those fools did, where they fought everybody who was ever in that like realm, you know what I mean?
I think we're inching towards that. I mean, if you look right now, it used to be, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, all the best fighters were in the UFC period.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can make arguments that a lot of the best fighters, not a lot,
There's a handful of
good fighters that are elsewhere outside of the UFC that can be argued that they're the best in their current divisions.
Yeah.
And it's trending more that way with this, you know. And if you're listening and you're wondering what we mean when we say trade, let's be a little bit more specific. It's not a traditional trade. We're talking about independent contractors here. But basically, the UFC is letting Demetrius Johnson out of his contract, who exclusively signed with ONE.
Yeah.
And in exchange, ONE FC,
or
ONE Championship, as they're now called, name change, is letting Ben Askren, even though he's retired, out of his contract, which he's still under, to exclusively sign with the UFC.
He's not retired. He's just a little tired.
So, it's the first of its kind in MMA history. Everybody's happy about it.
Yeah, man. I'm fucking stoked.
Yeah. It's good shit for MMA.
I am fucking stoked for Ben Askren, dude. I just want to see him get a fight, guys, man.
And I'm especially stoked for Ben Askren.
I mean, we talked about this before. We're going to be at that Ultimate Fighter RDA Usman fight.
Right, coming
I
would, up next month. Right,
I would really like to see the winner of that fight welcome Ben to the UFC. Because yeah, here's the deal. Question.
Who do you want to see? But Usman if he wins or Usman RDA? Usman RDA,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like those would be good fights.
That would be good.
Here's the deal, though.
But are they going to dump 125?
Here's the deal. Get that 165 yeah, here's division? The deal, that dog. That's where now. It's going. They're drop. Because here's the deal. When you're fucking champions moving up to 35 to fight at 35, how the fuck do you have
so who wants to fight at 35 come for the on, title dude. There in a super fight?
Yeah.
You've got the
so
greatest.
So we're going to 35, and then.
You've got the greatest flyweight of all time is now gone.
Yeah.
And you can say people can say what he wants about him being a low UFC draw, but on the flip side, he was the highest draw in the flyweight division by far.
100%.
Now he's gone. Might be time that they flush that division.
Here's the deal,
division.
Too. There's quite a few guys that kill themselves making that division. Yeah. And there's quite a few that have fought in 35 before, you know. And there's also some smaller guys, but here's the thing. I think it's going to cause a ripple effect into making the 65 division and then make 70 to 75. Because, look, you're going to have the 25 guys that are now going to have to fight at 35, and then you're going to have those guys who cut a lot of weight to make 35, but these guys at 25 are not compromised because they're training more and harder because now they need to bulk up, and you're fucking killing yourself to get down there. You're going to say, hey, man, fuck this shit. I'm going to 45 now because, you know, these little fucks are going to fucking, you know, they're going to come in and take our spots and shit like that. So then it's going to cause a ripple effect for more and more fighters to keep moving up because these guys are there's a lot of high-level fighters that are going to be trickled into all these divisions.
Right, right. And it will have a bit of a ripple effect, especially if they create, like you said, a 65
division, how can you,
change welterweight to 75, keep 85, and then 205.
I can just think of right now. Kevin Lee is going to be a 65-pounder.
Yes.
Tony Ferguson is possibly going to be a
65-pounder.
Nate Diaz
will be a
65-pounder. Nate Diaz will be a 65-pounder. Nick Diaz could possibly be a 65.
He has a hard time making weight.
Cowboy Cerrone.
Cerrone would go fucking wild for that, absolutely. And people, you've been for this division for a while. I haven't been on board, but if that's the plan, if they're going to get rid of the flyweight division, okay, all right. Yeah. We're not technically adding a division, then we're just replacing it.
Yeah.
And then it makes more sense for me.
Yep.
And I'm down with that plan.
What's funny though is like, Dan's like, we don't have any room, but it's like, but then you have that 45 division with like women's 45 where it has like 6 fighters in it.
Yeah. Like a champ of nothing.
Yeah. It's There's like, who wants to fight Cyborg next? Championships.
Right. Half of the fucking.
Well, here's the thing.
Came
if she's saying she win or lose, if she's saying win or lose against Amanda Nunes, she's gonna retire. What the fuck?
Harrison,
well, here's the thing. What the fuck are they gonna do with that division? You think they'll dissolve that too? Because that division was created for her.
I know they can't wait. Harrison's not good enough to face Cyborg now. She's obviously signed to Bellator, anyways. Yeah. But that's the only woman of the size that could possibly give Cyborg a problem. Maybe.
I mean, unless Cyborg just comes with like little late career Bellator run, I could see her doing that.
Yeah, she could just retire to get the fuck
out of UFC. Well, she doesn't necessarily have to retire. I think this is I think it's her last contract to fight.
That would be interesting, you know. But yeah, with these divisions, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen too. I'm on board with it. So
here's the thing. Here's the silver lining in all of this. Now you're trading two guys who are literally very similar because you have to be adequate at every facet of the game to beat either one of these guys. And that's what makes this trade so big. A lot of people are saying, who's Ben Askren, all this shit. And I'm guessing a lot of people on their side are saying, who is Demetrius Johnson? Because, you know, there's things like that. I mean, obviously, Johnson's huge, and I'm not discrediting anything Johnson's done because he's one of the GOATs for sure. But what I'm saying is in a different country, they possibly do not know him. And so then you get in this situation where now Askren's going to come in. And like I was saying before, if you're not adequate at everything, he's going to fucking whoop your ass. Like straight up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Askren is a fucking high-level grappler.
Yeah,
and if you are not adequate or you don't come in there and ring his bell like real quick – he's just going to take you down and he's going to fucking pound you into the ground. And he's going to make you look fucking stupid while he does it.
Well, there's haters saying he hasn't faced any high-level competition because he's been over in Asia, but that's totally not true.
Not true.
Because he handled Douglas Lima, and he manhandled Koreshkov. I mean, he rode him like a horse and slapped him on the side of his head, for God's sake, over there in Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no joke, man. Those guys are legit. I mean, look at the Rory McDonald-Douglas Lima fight that just
Tell you right now, Douglas Lima could probably beat any 170-pounder in the UFC on any given day.
These are legit fighters. Like we were just saying, just because you're not in the UFC right now doesn't mean you're not a hell of a legit fighter.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. The fucking 170 champion in Bellator beat the 170 champion in the UFC not too long ago.
Yeah, Rory McDonald.
Rory McDonald whooped Tyron Woodley's ass. Yeah,
dominated him.
Dominated.
Absolutely.
Same thing in middleweight. Pretty much a middleweight. Gegard Mousasi is probably the best middleweight in the world.
So you think he comes right into a 165-pound fight, Askren, or do you think he takes something at 70 or maybe even 55?
He can't make 55.
Oh.
He can't make 55, dude. No fucking way he can make 55.
Yeah, I mean, he called out Khabib on Twitter.
No doubt. He said meet him at 65, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
Khabib won't do that.
Maybe, dude. Khabib has a tough time making 55.
And he has a real prideful one to be the best.
These kind of trades make me wish that this was an open market, like boxing is. Where we could get a Gegard Mousasi versus Robert Whittaker champion versus champion fight.
Please, can we just do some fucking co-promotion?
You know, yeah.
UFC,
or,
you bastards.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because, dude, Fedor could have been.
The Premier League.
Fedor could have been huge.
Oh, I know.
He could have been huge.
I know. But this is a positive thing. And hopefully, man, it opens the door a little bit for some future things like this to happen. And some co-promotion down the road, that would be fucking killer.
Well, let's keep this one in the back pocket for Aaron Pico, because we're gonna need him soon,
right?
Once TJ Dillashaw gets too old, we'll go get Aaron Pico.
Well, we had another big change, you know, moving on. We had another big change to a fight card, another main event knocked out due to injury, which is Frankie Edgar versus the Korean Zombie at UFC Denver upcoming. And Edgar injured, undisclosed, out, replaced with
Yair Rodriguez.
Yair Rodriguez, not seen since, ironically, Frankie Edgar
beat the shit out of him
over a year ago. So initially I was against this fight. You and I have discussed it in lead up to the show. I'm kind of coming around, you know. I was against it just because I don't want Yair to get his ass kicked again as a young prospect by another world-class fighter he's not ready for.
But at the same time, I'd like to see Korean Zombie face somebody who's up and coming and is like a real contender to this division in the future and handle him. Because then Korean Zombie is fucking really only lost to Jose Aldo's entire career in the UFC.
Yes, he's been gone. If you listen to our show, you might not know who he is. He's been gone. He's a Korean citizen, so he had mandatory military service, which took him out of a... He had a title fight against Aldo, in which he injured his shoulder.
And he was given he was given Aldo the business.
Yeah, with a very fucked up shoulder the last, I believe it was round and a half to two rounds. Still hanging in the fight. Then went into military service, came back a year ago, whooped top 10 featherweight Dennis Bermudez, and then broke his arm, I believe. It was a pretty bad injury. He's been out for a year, and now he's back again.
Yep.
Now, I guess my initial thought, it depends on Rodriguez. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to get his ass whooped, but when you take a beating like that in such a severe way that he took...
Well, he's had the time off.
You got to see how you respond as a fighter. Is he going to make him stronger, or he's going to be hesitant?
Or is his ego so...
Shell-shocked.
Here's my thing with
him. Gun-shy.
Here's what I wonder. Because he's such a flashy kicker and like he's such a flashy styled fighter.
Yeah.
How much of that was his ego and how much of that was him like really training at a high level with those kind of strikes? You know.
Sure, that's a good question. Yeah, and we'll find out now.
Yeah, because he didn't try anything like that against Frankie. Frankie just took his ass down like a little bitch and just pounded him.
Yeah, Frankie wasn't having any of that. I just walked right in, took him down, and literally just beat the shit out of him. I felt bad for that kid. Like, Frankie Edgar was pummeling his ass. So, I don't want to see that again, but let's hope it doesn't happen. But I like Zombie in this
fight. I like Zombie in this one. I like Zombie to win this fight, move on to fight Jose Aldo again.
I would love to see that again. That would be an excellent, excellent
thing on ESPN. Happen. That'd be a good ESPN fight night. Korean yes. Zombie Aldo 2.
Yes.
That'd be a great
one. We're not going to get a fight like that before then because UFC is going out of its way to kind of put on some shitty cards at the end of this Fox deal. I mean,
I don't know, dude. There's been some good. There's some good ones coming up.
On pay-per-view or on fight nights?
On fight nights.
Who's coming up?
UFC Denver.
Well, UFC Denver. Yeah, that's still a good card. It's not what it was before, but yeah, that's one. But it's after what? We've got the co-main Cowboy Cerrone Platinum Mike Perry. That's a hell of a fight.
Yeah, it's a good fucking fight right there. A hell of a
fight right there. Man, I've been liking Perry. You know, let's talk about that fight for just a second.
Yeah. Perry's like, he's definitely improved recently.
He made a move. You know, he's always had that raw talent. You could see it. But, dude, he was running his own training camp with his girlfriend as his coach and shit out of his garage. Like, he wasn't really taking shit seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then yeah, I think he was at top team for a minute. He just wasn't doing a whole lot seriously down there in Florida. And then he made a real serious move. Like, he said, yeah. Fuck it. He lost a fight, and then he went to Jackson Wink.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't just take you in over there. They're
no, it's definitely you know? A process of like, where... You gotta earn your shit, you know. You gotta earn your rank, you know. Like,
and then he came back, so he took action, which a lot of fighters can't do that. Like, take Ronda Rousey for example.
Yeah.
Like, she hit a point in where she hit a wall and she needed mm-hmm. to change camps and
she
and
was learn too more. Stubborn to do anything
and she
about
wouldn't
it.
Do it for yeah. whatever reason. Now I'm not saying that Platinum Mike Perry is the next Ronda Rousey champion level fighter, but I'm saying that he saw something he needed to do and took action, and then he came back and had a fight and showed vast improvement, like fight mm-hmm. IQ improvement, like not like I punch better, but I'm yeah. thinking fucking better mm-hmm. now. So there's a lot of potential there.
Yep.
I'm excited with this fight. And Cowboy, on the other hand, he looks like he's bulking up a bit.
Yep, which is smart. It's real smart for him because before, he wasn't really taking that 70 that seriously. He kind of thought it was something that he was just going to do for the meantime and just drop back to 55. And then now there's really no fights available for him at 55. That division's pretty locked down. And so you really look at it and, like, you know, why not bulk up? Because if you're going to – you want it – like we've been talking about in the past, you want to peak at the right time. Mm-hmm. And if you're compromised by cutting weight like he probably was on multiple occasions at 55, it's just you're not going to perform at your best. It's just a fact of life. You're not going to perform your best when you're dehydrated and your body's just, you know, you're not sleeping. Because it's really hard, man. When you're cutting weight and you're fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we've both done it. You've cut weight for wrestling. I've cut yeah. weight for boxing.
It's hard to fuck. Like, especially
you've
before...
Never done it, you and, don't... You feel like
before,
shit.
Like everything too is like it's. People don't understand like the lead up to it. Like it's hard
yeah,
to sleep sometimes, man.
Intake at the same time too. Yeah. As you're cutting water,
you feel like
it's
shit.
Brutal, man. You feel like shit, and it takes a long recovery. You don't just magically recover within yeah. 24 hours. In a lot of cases,
mm-hmm.
Your performance is still hindered.
Yeah.
So, you know, man.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Absolutely.
Especially in like wrestling, because wrestling is you weigh in an hour.
Yeah, it's not like boxing's like MMA. You know, you have the weigh in the day before.
Mm-hmm.
In wrestling, you got that weigh in the day of.
Yeah, it's fucking rough. I've seen multiple people just stuff themselves and then shit the bed on the mat, you know? Just because it's like, it's one of those things where if someone's cutting a lot of weight and they're that dehydrated, they're fucking just going after it as soon as they're done weighing in. Like, once they know they're good, you know, they fucking run to their bag and fucking, you know. But so it's like, it's always like, you always got to keep a balance of how much weight you're cutting. And like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to think logically about it. I mean, I know people that I've cut, like my brother, dude, I've seen that fool cut so much weight. Like, I know people that have cut more weight for fucking looking back on it for fucking high school matches that fucking, you know what I mean? That it's like, it's crazy.
That thing more than there should be dangerous levels.
Yeah.
You know, but that's.
I mean, and they've put steps in place to stop like the ridiculous ones.
But, yeah, wrestling's taken some steps. Yeah. You know, USA Wrestling has in order to curb some of that dramatic weight cutting.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
I guess it's an argument as to how successful they might be, and you know a hell of a lot more than that to me, but they have taken steps.
Yeah, I mean, they've had them for years, but like recently it's been more of like a breakdown. Like before it was like you could weigh in at this, and then like if you could make the next weight, like go for it. You could do it again. But then now it's like there's whatever you weigh in at your hydration test, it's like broken down into like you can only lose, I think, like 2 to 5 pounds a week. And so, like, depending on, you know, what you weigh in the next week and the next week, they keep, like, they keep a... like a record of how, like, how you can healthily get down to the, what is the healthiest weight you could get down to, basically.
You know, one championship does something similar.
Yeah. Theirs is a little bit more extreme, though.
And weight monitoring to curb weight cutting.
Because when you think, when you do it in wrestling, you do it at the beginning of the season, and then from then on, you just weigh in normally. 1FC is doing the freaking, they're doing hydration tests at the weigh-ins. Because honestly, I'll tell you right now, there's been plenty of times where I've known people who fucking kill themselves to get down to whatever weight they can get down to for that hydration test and fucking just pray to God their piss is fucking yellow because if, or white, dude, clear, whatever the fuck. Because, like, that's real, they just test your piss, like, not for anything in it. They test the gravity to, like, test your, like, how much, you know, how much how much you're hydrated at that weight. And, I mean,
well, I don't think we're ever going to see that level in the UFC specifically, but we are seeing a trend where fighters like
Cowboy are
cutting
is,
their shit and they're moving up. Now, California's taking some steps. But they can't force it. You know, they can they can refuse to license somebody in their
They almost did it to Daniel Cormier.
They make recommendations, and I'm for that as well. But I think a lot of fighters are noticing this trend of guys. I mean, like Jason Kraus comes to mind. He just moved up 55 to 70 and performed excellent. Cowboy, although he's losing some fights, there's still a lot of times where you don't have to do these dramatic weight cuts. Like guys like Gastelum, like he's not down to 70 and he's performing fucking good. You got Anthony Smith, who we were talking about earlier in the show.
Like I said, man,
he was 185.
It's all about not compromising yourself.
He's fucking, he's not killing himself and he's doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what a lot
of
fighters
and everybody's body's different too, because there's plenty of guys who can do that, who can get themselves down to those weight.
TJ
and then,
fucking Dillashaw, he makes weight every time and fights like a fucking beast.
Not even that. What I'm saying is there's a lot of those guys who could cut that weight and somehow still perform at a high level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody's different, but what I'm saying is for your peak, like for you to peak at the perfect time, you need to, like, you know, it's just different. You know, when you're there's a difference between a practice when you're cutting weight and a practice when you're just, you know, it's the beginning of the week and you don't really give a shit about your weight.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's, unfortunately, that's how a lot of fighters cut weight. A lot of them wait till last minute.
Right, come in and just cut that heavy water weight out, and it's a drain, man.
And what's crazy.
You got like Uriah Hall,
yeah.
He passed out on a weight cut.
Mm-hmm.
You got all kinds of fighters.
Darren Till's talking about going blind while he's doing it.
Darren Till went blind on video, cutting weight till you're fucking blind.
He was cutting weight weird as fuck, though. I don't know, man. They've got all these like new new ways they cut weight, but like it's fucking weird some of the shit they do, man. I don't know. I used to just like ride my bike everywhere, but like.
Yeah,
or like run
saunas,
or some shit, you know. But like all these motherfuckers in the UFC have those like sauna blanket things. I'm like, holy shit.
I've done all that. Yeah, it's weird. That shit sucks, dude.
Those baths suck, too.
Those baths suck. Wearing those fucking goddamn suits, those sweatsuits.
Yeah, those are outlawed in wrestling.
Things, fucking, oh, dude, those are brutal. Go run in that shit and then come back.
You're not allowed to use those in high school wrestling.
No, they made some changes on that. That's good.
Because people died.
Well, moving on to the final big news, we touched on it a bit earlier, but we got a return of
John Jones
versus Alexander Gustafsson for the official
GOAT.
Light heavyweight title that Daniel Cormier will be stripped of upon start of that fight.
Yep.
I'm a fan, mentioned earlier, like lineal titles.
Yep.
This is what should happen here.
Jones is going to bring it home, dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain Jones is going to whoop that ass.
Yeah.
And then all sorts of interesting possibilities open up.
Telling you, I think he stole the Brock fight from DC. I don't think DC's gonna get that Brock fight anymore.
I'm on board with that. I don't know if it's because
and John not Jones, because but I don't think DC. No, I think it is because of John Jones. Because if you're a guy like Brock Lesnar and you're looking for just one more to just cash out, and they
Daniel Cormier, if that's all
yeah, exactly. And they tell you you can either pick Daniel Cormier, John Jones, or Stipe. You're gonna take John Jones.
It ain't Stipe either. Yeah, if you can just look at the numbers, you can look at John Jones headlining
paper. I think this is what Cormier. I think is gonna happen. I think Cormier is going to beat Derek Lewis, and I think he's going to finish his career with a rematch against Stipe in March. And I think John Jones is going to beat Alexander Gustafsson, move up to heavyweight, beat Brock Lesnar, and then fight the winner of DC. DC's going to retire, so basically he'll fight Stipe after that.
Right.
Unless he stays at light heavyweight, which he can.
I really hope that happens. I'm on board with that whole scenario. That's fucking a dope scenario right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an MMA fan's dream. And provides regular fans with some high-level fights, too. I mean, Brock versus John Jones is a fun fight. I like it better than DC. I think DC would...
Just because John's so creative, man. DC's so bland and John is so creative. You know?
Their body types are so different. You got tall and lanky John Jones versus
I would be curious to see how... That's what I'm saying. I'm curious to see how much...
Muscle.
How much...
Gorilla motherfucker.
Fucking DC could handle Brock is what I would wonder.
Brock on top of you is no joke. I don't care what your name is.
Yeah.
Like, that's a...
It's a big motherfucker.
Especially if he's cutting to 265 and is showing up at, 280 on fight night. Jesus, right? Dude. Shit. And that's a man who's got... you can say what you want about the WWE or whatever the fuck the wrestling shit is, but he's got legitimate...
He's got legitimately NCAA wrestling. Skills, yeah.
And is an athletic specimen.
For sure, for sure.
You cannot deny his skills.
Hell no.
He's got very, very, very rare athletic ability. Yeah. So, I think DC would ultimately win. But John Jones, I think, would win too. But I'm much more going to see the John Jones.
Yeah, me too. Fight.
That's fun.
I think John Jones, DC's dead too.
Who wants that? DC wants it. DC needs it for his legacy.
That's why I think DC takes Stipe again, because I don't think John Jones is going to fight him, and he just...
Like, he'll lobby for it. Yeah. John's he's already downplaying. Yeah. This is like, I beat him twice, and I don't want to take his heavyweight belt. I don't want what this man has. Good for him. He's playing the high road.
Yeah.
DC's still like...
Fuck you, crackhead.
Fuck you, crackhead. Exactly. So, and John Jones, what does he get other than a payday? What does he get from beating DC a third time?
Nothing.
That's it.
Just only more. DC wins in that scenario. I just hate how everyone discredits what John's done, just because of what's happened to him. It's like, dude, just because that happened does not mean that he is not the fucking best light heavyweight of all time.
Of course not. People get emotional. They can't. I don't know what it is.
How can you deny him? He's defeated every great of the era that he grew up in.
Yes. While they were very close to their primes.
In their primes, yes. Including DC twice.
And he's never lost. He's undefeated.
Even Matt Hamill, who fucking won the DQ of that fight, said that he wishes they'd switch the fucking thing and said, it's all good, I don't want the win.
Yeah, if you're listening to the show, you don't know. You look at John Jones' record, yes, he has a loss. Okay, he lost a disqualification match by a dumbass referee for a supposed 12-6 elbow when he was beating the living shit out of a
He was already finished, and then he hit him with it, and he couldn't get up because he was already finished.
Yeah. And this Steve Mazzagatti, a notoriously bad referee.
I think it was Herb Dean.
No, it was Mazzagatti.
You sure?
Yep. People can correct me, I'm sure, in the comments if I'm wrong, but that was Steve Mazzagatti's one of his more infamous things. And if not, well, whatever. It was a dumbass move by a referee. If it was Herb Dean or Steve Mazzagatti, it was not the right move. They disqualified John, gave the win a destroyed Matt Hamill.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count, point being. He hasn't lost a fight. Nobody's beat him in the octagon.
No. Not even close. Well, actually, pretty close a couple times, but not.
Gustafsson, close. Vitor had him in that arm bar, but John just toughed that shit out. Like, fuck you.
And then Loyota gave him a little trouble, and then he put him to bed on his feet.
Oh, that was such a sick
show. He just dropped his ass.
Stepped back, dropping the mic, dude.
You know what I like about John Jones? My favorite John Jones fight is that fucking Shogun fight. That was just such a masterful, transition of power. Because it was just, one of those things where John just was dominant. as the challenger.
Took it short notice, too, as the young upstart challenger.
And that's why it was legend. Probably so... That's honestly why it was probably so, like, it angered Rashad so much, because that could have been him, you know?
Yeah, Rashad Evans, if you're listening, originally scheduled to fight Shogun Hua for the light heavyweight championship. Shogun, legend in the sport.
Yeah.
Falls out. Training partner for Rashad's young upstart Jackson Wink prospect, John Jones, steps in short
couple
notice.
Dubs. Couple dubs in the UFC, but nothing major.
Right. Making noise as a
young whoops fighter. He whooped Stephen Bonner's ass.
Yeah,
he beat think Stephen Brandon Bonner. Vera.
Yeah, Matt Hamill, and then... Yeah, he handled everybody before, and people were like, oh shit, who's this guy? But they were talking, Shogun was the shit.
The shit, dude.
Like, living legend, living destroyer, and he got worked. Like
He got fucking whooped.
Beat down like you were like, oh.
Like he was an amateur.
No. Yeah, like, oh no.
Like, bitch, this is my octagon now.
And then John Jones proceeded to do that to every other champion that came to fucking
everyone.
Long. From Rampage,
Machida, to Rashad, Vitor.
You name it.
Fuck, man.
The greatest, without a doubt.
Without a fucking
doubt. And now he's back. The one guy that gave him trouble was Alexander
Gustafsson. And he fucking pieced him, too. And then fucking Daniel Cormier. Dude, John Jones has just got the fucking who's who of wins on his record.
He is the GOAT.
He's got to be.
Well, I think that brings us to a close for today. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in. No matter where you're listening to us, if it's on WBUZ 95 on radio.net or the Orange Radio app. We air on there Thursday nights, 6 p.m. here on the West Coast, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. You can also find the show, of course, on iTunes, Google Play, the podcast outlets, plus video here on YouTube.
Give us thumbs up, comment, all that good stuff. Follow us on Instagram.
Everything's at SWATMMA.com. Yep. Thanks, everybody. Peace.